A lie of omission. Lou. I collapsed at Reed's side the next moment, and Coco followed suit with Beau and Celie. To my surprise, Angelica knelt too, brushing Constantine's cheek with the back of one slender hand. Unlike her sister, she wore her emotions proudly for all to see. This one looked akin to wistfulness. I gestured to the floodwater on the beach, both irritated and impressed. Maybe lead with that next time. She laughed softly. Shaking my head and grumbling, her laughter sounded like a goddamn bell, I pressed my ear to Reed's chest to listen to his heart. It beat strong and steady. When I checked his temperature, his skin felt warm, but not too warm, beneath my wrist. I lifted his eyelids next, sparking a light on the tip of my finger with residual anger. His pupils contracted like they should have. Right. I sat back in relief. He was perfectly healthy, just asleep. He'd probably claimed Morgan's consciousness to give us time to flee, sacrificing his own in the process. I only needed to wake him up. As I searched for a pattern to do that, however, I couldn't quash my curiosity. Glancing at Angelica and Constantine, I asked, "Didn't he betray you?" Her pale eyes rose to mine. "He did." Coco didn't look up. Tension radiated from her clenched jaw, her taut shoulders. She snatched my dagger to reopen the cut on her palm. Like me, however, she couldn't seem to help herself.
"And you still loved him?"
"You needn't do that, darling." Angelica's gaze flicked the wall of water on our right. In response, a thin stream twisted toward us like a serpent. It reached first for Beau, touching the deep puncture in his leg and flowing into his very skin. The wound closed almost instantly, followed by the one on his shoulder. A second tendril unfurled toward Celie, and a third stretched to Angelica. All of their injuries vanished.
"You see?"
Angelica smiled, and my breath might have caught my throat a little. I forced a scowl to compensate.
"Do not fatigue yourself."
She looked again at Constantine's lifeless body, her gaze lingering at the hole in his chest, before swallowing hard. The movement made her seem almost human.
"But yes, Cosette. I loved him the way we all love things we shouldn't, to excess. He hurt me in the way those things always do."
That palpable sadness crept back into her voice.
"I am sorry he is dead.
I am sorry he is dead." Just like that, she became something strange and foreign once more. Coco's hands clenched around Beau's collar as his eyes fluttered open. She didn't thank her mother for healing him. I didn't blame her. Instead, I scooted closer, pulling Reed with me, and braced my shoulder against hers in silent support. She leaned into the touch, dropping Beau's shirt as he sat upright.
"What happened? Where's Mo?"
His eyes widened when he caught sight of Angelica. To his credit, he only blinked stupidly for about 3 seconds before turning to Coco. Then he blinked a few times more.
"Is this..."
Coco nodded curtly. When her hand rose to clench her locket in a death grip, Angelica's eyes followed, widening in disbelief.
"You wear my locket?" she said.
It sounded like a question.
"I..."
Coco stared at the ground with ferocious intent.
"Yes."
A fierce sort of protectiveness pricked my chest at her obvious discomfort. Perhaps I should have been angry with her for never telling me about her mother. How many times had we talked about Angelica together? How many times had she chosen not to tell me? A lie of omission was still a lie. Hadn't I learned that the hard way? Nicolina had called it a betrayal. Perhaps I should have been upset, but I wasn't. We all had our secrets. I'd certainly kept my fair share. Though I didn't know why she hadn't confided in me, I did know Coco had been 6 years old the last time she'd seen her mother. I knew she didn't need an audience for this reunion. What she needed was time to process, time to decide what she wanted her relationship with Angelica to look like, to decide if she even wanted that relationship at all. Resolute, I settled on a pattern to wake Reed, flicking his nose to wield it, eager to distract the others from this painfully awkward situation. One night of my own sleep in exchange for his consciousness now. Simple, yet effective. Nothing too harmful. With Reed awake, we could move on. we could gather our allies to march on Chateau Le Blanc, or return to Caesarine, or... Well, I didn't know exactly, but we could do something other than gawk. I flicked Reed's nose once more, waiting for the pattern I'd enacted to dissipate. It didn't budge. I tried again, clenching my fist this time. It actually recoiled, twisting into a different pattern altogether. And the other patterns in my web, they did too. They grew hopelessly knotted in a way I couldn't trace or understand, as if the magic itself had grown confused. I frowned down at him. What the hell had he done? Distracted by my nonsensical patterns, I didn't see or hear Angelica move behind me. Her hand landed on my shoulder. "You will not wake," she said gently. "Not until he is ready." I shot her an irritated look, shrugging away from her touch. "What does that mean?" "His mind needs time to heal." She dropped her hand without insult, lacing her fingers together in a maddeningly calm pose. "He is lucky to be alive, Louise. This spell could have done irreparable damage to more than his mind." "What spell?" When she didn't answer, my frown deepened to an outright glower. I pushed to my feet, my cheeks hotter than usual. Claude, Constantine, Angelica, what was the point of omniscience, of omnipotence, if one didn't use it? I shook my head. "If his mind has been harmed, why can't you heal him? You healed everyone else." She only smiled again, a horrible, pitying smile. "Only he can heal himself." "That's horse. Do not worry, Louise." A hint of that unnatural glow re-entered her eyes, and I stepped back despite myself. "His injuries are not fatal. He will wake, of that I'm certain. His path forward, however, cannot yet be seen. The waters see things we cannot see, know things we cannot know." Constantine's warning repeated in my mind. "Angelica was a seer, and her magic shaped them. Your path, on the other hand, is clear." She gestured down the narrow split in the waters. It led straight into the heart of L'Eau Mélancolique. In the silver light of the moon, the mist from its flowing walls sparkled like flecks of diamond. She looked almost apologetically to Coco. "I am sorry, Fee, that our reunion is fraught with such complication. When you summoned me..."
"I didn't know I was summoning you," Coco interjected.
Angelica nodded, though something like pain flashed through her eyes.
"Of course. When you called upon the waters, I heard it. I felt your need, and I needed to answer it."
Her voice gentled as she continued, though she spoke with no less certainty.
"There is much you don't understand, Cosette. I know you are angry with me, as you well should be. But we do not have the luxury of time for lengthy explanations and apologies."
Coco stiffened at the straightforward words, and I squeezed her arm. Angelica was right, however. This wasn't the time or place for this conversation. Not with Morgane and Josephine roaming near. Not with a corpse at our feet, trapped between colossal walls of water. I eyed them nervously as a long silver fin flicked past.
"To do so," Angelica continued, recapturing my attention, "you must understand three things. First, I am no longer safe outside these waters. Isla's benevolence protects me, and she risked much in allowing me to come here. My sister lives in fear of my magic, in fear of Isla herself. But if Josephine had tried to enter these waters, I would not have been able to stop her. For as much as this magic is yours through birth, it is also hers because of our blood bond."
She didn't give us another chance to interrupt.
"Understand this, second. All of your life, Cosette, I have watched you."
Those blue eyes eddied with white, and fresh goose flesh lifted the hair on my arms. It lifted Coco's, too.
"I know where you have been and who you have loved. I know you have scoured the kingdom, from La Forêt des Yeux to Le Ventre to Fitombe, for allies against Morgane. You have befriended the beast of Gévaudan and the wild man of the forest. You have entranced dragons and witches and werewolves alike."
For the first time, she hesitated, the white in her eyes flaring brighter. To me, she said,
You still wish to defeat your mother?
Of course I do, but what?
Isla would make a powerful friend.
Coco clutched my arm so hard that I nearly lost sensation in it, but her voice didn't falter.
Whatever you're trying to say, Maman, say it.
Very well.
She waved her hand at the waters once more, and streaming tendrils shot forth, weaving midair to form a liquid lattice. They looked much like the roots of a glass tree, clear and bright and shining. Twining beneath Reed, they lifted his body and suspended it at waist level. I reached out to seize his hand with my free one. When Angelica motioned him down the path, the waters obeyed. He floated away from us, and I darted to keep up, dragging Coco along with me.
Stop it! What are you—
Her mother spoke in a strained voice.
I wish I could offer you a choice, Fee, but truthfully you have already made one. When you called upon the waters, you asked of them a favor. Now we must ask one of you.
Coco dug in her heels, incredulous.
But I didn't know.
The waters began to close behind us, blocking our path to the beach. We stared at them in horror.
Isla wishes to speak with you in Le Presage, Cosette. You and your friends.
Angelica's beautiful face pinched with regret.
I'm afraid you must all come with me.